This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump could return soon. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Monday, October 5th, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Doctors treating President Trump for COVID-19 at Walter Reed Medical Center outside Washington say he could return to the White House today.
New York City plans to close schools and non-essential businesses in 9 neighborhoods in Brooklyn and Queens due to a spike in coronavirus cases.
The National Hurricane Center says a newly formed tropical depression off Jamaica could make landfall as a hurricane in the northern Gulf Coast this week.
And behind the scenes of hospital treatment, why they can't handle spikes in COVID cases.
We were really interested in this question of, do hospitals and emergency response agencies and the federal government have the information they need to respond quickly in the pandemic? It's a pretty basic question, and the answer is no.
Melanie Evans at the Wall Street Journal on the lack of real-time data and no federal system for sharing information. President Trump's doctors say his health is improving and he could be sent back to the White House as soon as today. He's been sequestered at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center outside Washington since Friday. Dr. Sean Conley, the White House physician, said yesterday that the president's condition had been worse than he had previously admitted. Dr. Conley said Mr. Trump had run a high fever on Friday morning and had been given supplemental oxygen after his blood oxygen levels had dropped.
The president has continued to improve. As with any illness, there are frequent ups and downs over the course, particularly when a patient is being so closely watched 24 hours a day.
Meanwhile, Mr. Trump has released a series of videos in an effort to reassure the public that he is recovering.
It's been a very interesting journey. I learned a lot about COVID. I learned it by really going to school. This is the real school. This isn't the let's read the book school.
At Walter Reed, Mr. Trump mounted a brief motorcade yesterday to wave to supporters gathered outside the hospital. President Trump's re-election team is moving to get his campaign back on track while he's being treated for the coronavirus. Jason Miller, senior advisor for the campaign, says Vice President Mike Pence will lead the effort, calling it Operation MAGA. He also addressed national polling that shows the president trailing Democratic nominee Joe Biden.
Arizona and Nevada is looking very good. In Florida, we continue to look good. Numbers are our lead is growing, as we see in North Carolina and Georgia from internal numbers. Pennsylvania is going to be tight. Michigan is going to be tight. The whole upper Midwest is what this thing could come down to.
He was on ABC's This Week. Mr. Pence, by the way, is expected to make campaign stops this week in Arizona and Nevada. He also has a debate with Democratic VP nominee Kamala Harris on Wednesday. Mr. Miller described an effort in which Mr. Pence, members of the Trump family, and dozens of others would begin fanning out. Mr. Miller declined to say if Trump family members would quarantine for 14 days, which is the guidance given by the White House Coronavirus Task Force for someone who has close contact with a carrier of the disease. President Trump is receiving oxygen and has begun a course of steroids, yet it's possible he could be released from the hospital today. Elizabeth Weiss, health and medicine reporter at USA Today, spoke with doctors who said patients for whom that's the case often spend several days in the hospital in the best case scenario. Elizabeth, understanding that the doctors you've spoken to are not treating the president, what are you hearing?
In their experience, if someone is required, well, it's kind of a cascade of things. So they've put them on this steroid, dexamethasone, which is typically given, well, it is, in fact, given to people who have either severe or critical COVID. And that includes, that would mean that you had an oxygen saturation that was below 92%, which means you were on, you would be put on oxygen. And so that's kind of being on those steroids would indicate that you require oxygen, would indicate a couple of things. And they all said if they had a patient for whom those things were true, they would not be sending them home the next day. I will say that my presumption is the the White House has extraordinarily excellent medical care available there. So perhaps there's a level of medical care available at the White House that would probably be comparable to a hospital. I don't know.
Okay.
But they are saying that it's, you know, anybody else, if they put you on steroids, you'd be on oxygen and they'd be telling you, no, you're going to be staying here for a couple of days at least.
Does that indicate some sort of pneumonia?
Well, it does. So if, and again, we're not getting a very clear picture of the president's condition at this point. If he's on steroids, the presumption is it's because he's having trouble getting enough oxygen. And if that's the case, he would be on oxygen. And the pulmonologist I spoke with said, generally speaking, that would mean that he had COVID pneumonia, which sounds really dire. But all that means is that you've got an infection or an inflammation in the lungs that is making it difficult for your lungs to get as much oxygen from your lungs into your bloodstream as they should be. And you can have mild pneumonia, you can have walking pneumonia, you can have really dangerous pneumonia. We don't have enough information. I mean, my presumption is he's nowhere near that ill, but we just don't know. But yeah, given the symptoms and the treatments he's getting, he's probably got at least a very mild case of pneumonia, which again is not dire, but it is a diagnosis.
Yeah. We're speaking with Elizabeth Weiss, health and medicine reporter at USA Today. There was a couple of folks, too, observed that the next few days are the real test for the president's COVID-19 battle. How so?
So, yeah, everybody that I've spoken with and these are all docs who have treated dozens and hundreds of COVID patients, including up in Seattle, have said that this week, this kind of 3 to 7 day period after you become symptomatic is really when things either start to turn the corner or they start to go south. And so this is when you want to be doing very careful observation. You want to be checking blood saturation levels all the time, looking for shortness of breath, because what's happening right now is a patient's body, the virus is in the body, the body is trying to fight it off. And you could have a case where the body successfully fights the virus off and you're good and you get to go home. You could have a case where you don't successfully fight the virus off and you get sicker. And a part of that can be that your immune system goes into overdrive trying to attack the virus and actually begins to, you get a severe inflammation, which is the body trying to fight the virus. And that severe inflammation can go into the lungs and actually disrupt the cells in the lungs. So you have a hard time taking in oxygen. And that's, and this is in no way, shape, or form to say this is what's going on with the president,
right.
But for people who have severe COVID disease, it's that cascade of inflammation and then lung involvement that is often the cause of death. So they're going to be watching for that.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Weiss, health and medicine reporter at USA Today. 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to 2 world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, visit planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. New York City will close public schools and non-essential businesses in parts of Brooklyn and Queens that have seen a recent spike in coronavirus cases. Mayor Bill de Blasio said during a news conference yesterday that all schools and non-essential businesses in neighborhoods within 9 zip codes would begin closing Wednesday, pending approval from the state.
We have to take strategic action now to protect everyone, over 8 million New Yorkers who are depending on this virus to be held in check.
Many of the neighborhoods have a large Orthodox Jewish community, which is currently celebrating the holiday of Sukkot. The neighborhoods have logged an increase in positivity rates of COVID-19 over the past few weeks, topping a 3% rate for seven straight days, which prompted the increased enforcement. The seven-day average positivity rate for the city overall is just 1.72%, although the city is also monitoring 11 other zip codes in Brooklyn and Queens with higher positivity rates. They have not reached the 3% threshold. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump briefly ventured out in a motorcade yesterday to salute cheering supporters, a move that disregarded precautions meant to contain the virus that has forced his hospitalization and killed more than 209,000 Americans. Hours earlier, Trump's medical team reported that his blood oxygen level dropped suddenly twice in recent days, and they gave him a steroid typically only administered for the very sick. Trump physician Sean Conley on administering oxygen.
He was fairly adamant that he didn't need it. He was not short of breath. He was tired, had the fever, and that was about it. And after about a minute, on only 2 liters, his saturation levels were back over 95%.
Still, doctors say Trump's health is improving and he could be discharged as early as today.
Number two.
Only three states are reporting a decline in new COVID-19 cases compared to last week as the country hit its highest daily rate of new cases in almost 2 months. As of Saturday night, new cases were down in Texas, Missouri, and South Carolina, while 21 states reported a rise in cases and little more than half held steady compared with the week before.
Number three.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says lawmakers are making progress on another coronavirus relief bill after months of stalled negotiations. She spoke with CBS.
You can't just say we need to do something, but we're going to let the virus run free. Now that it's even run free in the White House, think of how it is in a poor neighborhood where the president is insisting that children actually go back to school.
House Democrats last Thursday approved a $2.2 trillion relief package. It was opposed by Republicans and the White House. A newly formed tropical depression could make landfall as a hurricane in the northern Gulf Coast this week, while Tropical Storm Gamma killed at least six people after coming ashore in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The tropical depression is expected to develop into a tropical storm today near the Cayman Islands and become a hurricane near Cuba tomorrow.
Butler the drive, the runner, he banks it in. Oh, what a masterpiece from Jimmy Butler. And the Heat go up by 9 with 1:13 remaining.
Jimmy Butler and the undermanned Miami Heat breathe new life into the NBA Finals with a 115-104 win over the Los Angeles Lakers that cut the best-of-seven series deficit to 2-1. Butler finished with 40 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists.
I think he just got two more points about 5 minutes ago. He's still scoring in the wee hours of the morning. Thanks, Jen. It's 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. To say that 2020 has been a year of uncertainty is an understatement, right? The way we work together changed overnight. Businesses learned pretty quickly that to adapt, they need a new way to get the essential resources they need. That's how Fiverr can help. Fiverr's online marketplace connects you with freelancers for hundreds of digital services. Things like graphic design, web programming, film editing, and a lot more. And there's no guessing games. You customize your search by service, deadline, price, reviews, whatever matters to you. And you know the cost up front, no negotiating at all. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent has worked with the most influential brands in the world and is here to help. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com. Code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. A new survey from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds that nearly half of the people who lost their jobs during the pandemic now believe those positions are gone for good. Tips on reinventing yourself from Louis Gravance, business consultant and author of a book called Service is a Superpower, Lessons Learned in a Magic Kingdom. Louis, how do we do it?
Everyone should think of themselves as self-employed. Everybody should think of themselves as a small business owner from now, even if you work for a Fortune 500 company. So one of the reasons I wrote the book, for years at the Disney Institute, these big companies would come and we would help them redesign their service programs or their identity. And I thought this should be available for people. People, single people or small business owners in the workplace. You know, helping people to you know, design their intention the same way a big company like Disney does. And right now, you know, a lot of people are going to be overwhelmed because they have 15 important things to do. And when you have 15 important things to do, it's hard to get to the first one. Yeah, at Disney, we used to have this acronym, WIN, What's Important Now? Because right now, people need to create any kind of forward motion. So literally, what is in front of you now? Literally, physically, even if it's just washing the keyboard in front of you, anything to get any kind of forward motion going. And also, right now, everybody at some point in their work career has delighted somebody. That's a Disney term, delighted somebody. Who is that? Find those people. And if for no other reason, besides the obvious potential of connecting with people and networking, you're going to need to see yourself through the eyes of people that know you as success right now, up front. Yeah, as you start redefining your narrative, I know that's another oft-used word, narrative, but you know what? That's what you are now. We're all brands and identities. And as we go forth right now, we're going to need to think of ourselves and compartmentalize our work ways in the same way.
How are we going to, say, begin a reinvention of ourselves if we now realize that our job loss is going to become permanent, given this environment?
First, realize that just like a business always has an emotional backing of whatever they've provided, you know, like Disney sells happiness. You go to the doctor and what they're selling is health and well-being. First and foremost, take a hard look of your skills and your weaknesses and what's always been the emotional backing of what you've done best. What do you sell? You know, and also you might find yourself in a job right now that you might not like, a new task, not a career. And, you know, I was a child actor until I became too hairy to be one. And then I played kids until I was 24 and my hands got too hairy. So I became a waiter after being a television actor, which usually isn't the way it goes. But, you know, it was great because I realized, you know, like the book says, service is a superpower. And so what I would say to anybody that finds themselves in a task rather than a career right now, be great at it. Be great at it, because excellence seeks and finds other excellence.
Yeah.
Whatever is in front of you, you know?
Thanks, Louis. Louis Gravance, Business Consultants. Again, the book is called Service is a Superpower. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, October 5. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Doctors hint that President Trump could be released from the hospital today while continuing COVID treatment. New York City plans to close schools and businesses in 9 zip codes due to spikes in coronavirus cases. The Supreme Court begins a new term today with 8 justices. Northern Gulf Coast could see a hurricane this week. Monday Night Football features 2 games, Patriots at the Chiefs, the Falcons in Green Bay. And the Disney worker who started a food pantry for her laid-off colleagues. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Well, during a pandemic, medical officials need real-time data to make sure resources go where they're needed. But Melanie Evans, hospital reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says attempts to build a system this year have failed. Melanie, explain.
We were really interested in this question of, do hospitals and emergency response agencies and the federal government have the information they need to respond quickly in the pandemic? It's a pretty basic question, and the answer is no. So the information we looked at specifically was information that you would get out of hospitals. Are there available beds? Do you have enough ventilators? Are there staffing shortages? How many COVID-19 patients do you have? And that information is really important for a couple of reasons. One of them is when there's a surge, which is what we saw in Southern California, can you quickly move patients from an overcrowded emergency room into an empty bed at another hospital? But it's also important at the federal level because federal officials at a national, on a sort of a national scale, move drugs or other scarce resources to where they're needed most. And they need the information in order to do that.
Yeah. These data gaps, I presume, can lead to deaths.
Well, so it is really important when you're in an emergency room and you need intensive care, it's really important that you get to intensive care as quickly as possible. And so that's why finding an available bed fast matters. And so we talked to doctors at hospitals that eventually did receive these transfer patients. And what we were told is that there was sort of clearly lung damage from poorly controlled ventilator settings. Patients arrived without catheters, which it's, I mean, basically it's the equipment that is needed to monitor for things like septic shock or to deliver this really critical medication. And so because emergency rooms at these hospitals that were in the middle of the surge were so overwhelmed, patients didn't receive the care that they might have gotten in an ICU. And so those delays really mattered.
Yeah. We're speaking with Melanie Evans, hospital reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Why Hospitals Can't Handle COVID Surges. They're flying blind. I think there was one example in your story you gave where a patient wound up 600 miles away from his, from his, like his local hospital because they couldn't find a bed for him somewhere.
So this became finding a bed in the absence of like real time information, right? Like, I think we're all used to sort of like pulling up an app and saying, I need to buy something, right? Like, where is it? Is it near me? Can I buy it? There isn't that kind of real time data available for hospital beds. So it became this extraordinary effort of like phone calls and emails trying to locate a bed, and they kept widening the geographic search looking for available beds, and it ended up covering 600 miles, and patients were transferred that far.
Goodness. I mean, for me, in middle part of New Jersey, I'd wind up in North Carolina. That's 600 miles from me. I mean, I know California is a big state, and it may not be a fair comparison, but that's astonishing.
It is. It is.
So based on lessons learned from, say, I don't know, when we realized this was a real problem in maybe April, May, June, are we coming out of this with a better approach?
Well, at the federal level, there has been a recognition and there have been repeated warnings that we would need real-time data for like more than a decade. And we looked at this, right? We looked at what contributed to the fact that it was an acknowledged need, but it didn't exist. We looked at that like over quite an extended period. There have been some very rapid attempts to try to build out a system, and they are not perfect. At the local level, there are some efforts, like in Arizona, they actually did put together a real-time system to transfer patients, moved more than 2,000 patients around the state during their surge, managed to get patients transferred within a median of like, I think it was like a little over 80 minutes. So it worked there.
Thanks, Melanie. Melanie Evans, hospital reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. America's First News. We've heard for years that it's important to have a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, that kind of thing. But if you've ever looked at a breakdown of the most successful portfolios, you'll typically see real estate. So why isn't it one of the first asset classes you consider when you're looking to diversify? Well, simple. It hasn't been available to investors like you and me until now, thanks to Fundrise. Whether you're new to real estate investing or a veteran, Fundrise can help. Fundrise is an investing platform that makes investing in high quality, high potential real estate as easy as investing in your favorite stock or mutual fund. Fundrise manages more than $1 billion in assets for more than 130,000 investors with a team of real estate professionals that carefully vets real estate projects. Start building your better portfolio today. Get started at fundrise.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. That's FUNDRISE.com/Gordon to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. Fundrise.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, here's a follow-up to with a happy ending to a story we told you about last week. The Florida woman who thought that her winning lottery ticket had gotten lost in the mail is going to get her prize after all. Sue Burgess, who mailed in her $1,000 winning ticket via certified mail to Florida lottery officials, was told that her prize was being forfeited and given to a second place winner because the ticket didn't arrive within the 7-day allotted time. Burgess turned to a local TV station for help, which prompted an additional investigation by lottery officials. And guess what they found? They found Burgess's ticket already in their possession. They say they don't know why the ticket's postal tracking info was incorrect or why it took so long to find the ticket, but Burgess says the $1,000 check has already arrived to her house via FedEx.
So somebody made an effort.
Yes.
In other words, this is what happened. Somebody tried to look around and find it.
They just assumed that it didn't show up. They're like, look, it's not here. Look, I looked to my left. I looked to my right.
Oh, boy.
I don't see. I even looked behind me,
yeah.
And it's not there.
I'll tell you
no $1,000 for you.
There's something really fishy going on here with
you
this.
Know,
and I'm glad she got her money.
Yeah, and then somebody lifted up their arm, and oh, look at that.
Yeah.
There it is.
A little pressure from the media there seemed to have worked.
Yes, right. Yeah. And good news, I mean, well, actually, we don't know for sure. I was going to say good news that it doesn't look like it was the post office's fault, though we don't know, because there was some tracking info issue there. So
right.
We don't know if that was their fault or somebody else's fault.
Something weird is going on here. For sure. Well, it's Florida.
That's Priya.
Explains half of it.
Yes, yeah. for sure. And at 30 years old, Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Malik Jackson qualifies as an old pro by NFL standards, and he showed some of that learned gamesmanship in a moment from Sunday Night Football, which has gone viral on social media. With the ball on the 1-yard line and the Eagles up by 11, the game officials were trying to figure out the exact spot for the football, and while the closest official to the ball turned away for just a second to speak with other members of his crew, Jackson pounced, tapping the ball ever so slightly with his large foot, pushing it back a few inches. In a game where every inch counts, it was seen as a baller move by fans online, where the clip has already been viewed more than a million times. Unless, of course, you're a 49ers fan, to which you were likely calling for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and half the distance to the goal back after Jackson's toe tap.
It's pretty funny. The game was late, so I didn't get to see that part of it.
Yes, we never do.
But that was very funny. What a great touch, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he could have accidentally kicked it sideways. It would have been really obvious.
Right.
But just like a gentle, was it 3 inches, 4 inches, slid the ball back off the goal line?
Yeah.
Very clever.
And if this me, that's what would have happened. Or I would have stepped on the ball and tripped over it. You know, a lot of people said, you know, the cool part about it is that if the, let's say the 49ers had tried to put it back, let's say they saw it happen,
right,
tried to put it back, the officials would have seen that. They would have given them a penalty, you know, and of course he would have, been shrugging his shoulders. What? I didn't do anything.
49ers would have been busted for retaliation.
Right.
Like in a hockey fight of some kind, right?
Right. So, I mean, it's one of those things that they can't even do anything about it, really.
That's great. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome aboard a Monday. Optometrists report a rising number of patients seeking help with eye problems during the pandemic. Some are grappling with the fallout of increased screen time, which can exacerbate a medical condition known as dry eye. The Mayo Clinic says dry eye disease is a common condition that occurs when your tears aren't able to provide adequate lubrication for your eyes. Symptoms usually affect both eyes and may include a stinging, burning, or gritty sensation. USA Today says staring at a computer, TV, or smartphone screens can decrease your overall blink rate by 33%. And when you blink less often, that can cause dryness, which is made worse if you wear contact lenses. To avoid dry eye or eye strain from increased screen time, try the 20-20-20 rule. For every 20 minutes you spend staring at a screen, you should take a 20-second break and look at something 20 feet away to recalibrate your eyes. There's also an app called EyeCare 20-20-20 that can remind you to take those breaks. Turning down the brightness on your computer screen may also help. There are also over-the-counter artificial tears and prescription eye drops. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump continues to show disregard for precautions to contain the spread of COVID-19, even as he declared a newfound appreciation for the seriousness of the virus, as he briefly left the hospital yesterday in a motorcade to salute supporters.
I get it, and I understand it, and it's a very interesting thing, and I'm going to be letting you know about it.
Trump's doctors say he could be discharged from the hospital as soon as today, although his condition remains unclear. The Wall Street Journal reports Trump received a positive result on Thursday evening before making an appearance on Fox News, in which he didn't reveal those results.
Number two.
New York is one of only 18 states where coronavirus cases have not risen greatly over the past 2 weeks, but New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is moving to shut non-essential businesses as well as schools in 9 neighborhoods starting on Wednesday.
There are a number of neighborhoods now that have continued to have a high level of coronavirus positivity, and that requires stronger action than we've had to take for many months.
The lockdown would require the governor's approval.
Number three.
In a year that has already brought glowing skies and smothering smoke to the West Coast, California has set a grim new record. The wildfires of 2020 have now scorched a record 4 million acres in a fire season that is far from over. The unprecedented figure, an area larger than the state of Connecticut, is more than double the previous record for the most land burned in a single year in California. An appeals court has refused to allow the Trump administration to continue detaining immigrant children in hotel rooms before expelling them under rules adopted during the pandemic. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday upheld a lower court's order that would have required the U.S. to stop using hotels. More than 2,600 years since they were buried, archaeologists in Egypt have found at least 59 ancient coffins in a vast necropolis south of Cairo, one containing the pristine mummy of an ancient priest. Other artifacts and at least 28 statues are found in 2 deep wells. A sealed door was also unearthed where it's expected more mummies may lay behind. The artifacts are in excellent condition.
Shocking stuff. Unbelievable. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. A Disney employee is helping to feed furloughed colleagues. Emily Lartigue, who's 28, is inviting out-of-work cast members to be her guest at a food pantry she started up in Windmere, Florida, to help provide meals amid Disney layoffs during the pandemic. Disney last Tuesday announced that 28,000 workers, known as cast members, would be laid off across the company due to the ongoing pandemic. Ms. Lartigue told Fox News that her food pantry mission is that no cast member goes hungry. The HR employee started the pantry in March after she was furloughed from the company herself for 3 months. She returned to work in June. Ms. Lartigue started the food pantry program out of her own garage. She recruited friends to help stockpile canned goods like tuna, chicken, boxed pasta, jars of sauce, and snacks like goldfish and Oreos. Eventually, the pantry grew out of her garage and into a storage unit. Ms. Lartigue and her team have distributed 8,000 bags of food since March. Each is given out every Saturday, and former cast members can register via a SurveyMonkey link with their Disney ID.
That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.